This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Another big merger is announced today.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. The huge computer chip producer Intel is buying a division of the German chip maker Infineon for $1.4 billion. That deal was announced today. It will bolster Intel's wireless technology business, and it means August will go down as one of the busiest months of the past few years for mergers and acquisitions. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson is with us live from our New York bureau with more. Hey, Jeremy.
Hi, Bill.
Why is this a big deal for Intel?
Well, Intel has been looking to expand its reach beyond just computers, and this will help in that regard because Infineon gives Intel a way into the smartphone market and specifically Apple's iPhone 4, which uses Infineon's chips. And by the way, Bill, it's not just Intel that is deal hungry right now. We heard today that the French company Sanofi Aventis made public its $18 billion offer for the U.S. biotech firm Genzyme. And I would like to say that I don't come up with these names. I just have to say them.
So all these mergers, Jeremy, how should the rest of us feel about this burst of deal making?
Well, we know companies are sitting on a lot of cash right now, so I guess it's a good thing that they're willing to get back into the game and start spending. But I spoke with Howard Wieldon, who's a senior strategist at BGC Partners in London, and here's what he said.
I've been in the industry over 40 years now, and I can't remember an acquisition that's actually led to an enhancement of jobs. Jobs will go as a result of M&A activity. It's as sure as night follows day.
But, Bill, despite layoffs initially, Wieldon says this activity probably means growth down the road. As he puts it, mergers and acquisitions are capitalism's way of saying it's moving on.
Moving on, then. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson in New York. Thank you.
You're welcome, Bill.
President Obama is back at work this week after 10 days off in Martha's Vineyard. A lot of bad news came out while he was away. The housing market was way down. So were the numbers on economic growth for earlier this year. As Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer explains, the president's options for fixing the economy are limited.
Over at the Federal Reserve, Ben Bernanke says he's done about everything he can, and Congress doesn't seem interested in approving any new stimulus spending to jumpstart the economy, at least not before the November election. So what's a president to do?
He needs to talk about the economy. He needs to talk about what he is going to do to turn things around.
Quincy Crosby is a market strategist at Prudential Financial. She says the president should highlight his plans to help small business. The White House has proposed a small business lending initiative. Andrew Parmentier heads Height Analytics. He says the president can also talk about how the new health care and financial reform laws will affect businesses and consumers.
Let's not forget what's been done and what that's going to mean 6 to 12 months from now.
The president has been traveling around the country talking about how the economic stimulus money is being spent, but Parmentier says the president needs to make more public statements on the economy. He says the markets need to hear from the president on a regular basis. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
Well, now let's hear from the markets. Stocks in Europe are up about 0.5% this morning. The Bank of Japan eased its monetary policy to help juice the economy. Asian stocks were solidly higher. The Dow Industrials are coming off a buoyant Friday, gaining 164 points, more than 1.5% to 10,150.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree.com. Tools and personalized advice to help control your financial destiny are at the all-new LendingTree.com.
5 years ago today, New Orleans restaurants were closed. The city was full of water after Hurricane Katrina overtopped the levees. The only meals to be found were emergency rations. But New Orleans food culture has come back since the storm. Marketplace's Eve Tro met a family who found an unlikely way to keep their cooking alive.
It's 10:30 a.m. at the cafeteria of Loyola Law School in Uptown New Orleans. The staff's preparing for the lunch rush.
So today for lunch, it's mustard greens, smothered pork chop, candy yams, cornbread.
Peggy Ratliff runs this kitchen. And no, this is not normal college fare. Ratliff and her mother, Celestine Dunbar, used to have a soul food restaurant called Dunbar's Creole Cooking.
It was family. You just can just come in, put your arms on the table, get your fingers greasy, and so it was just home.
The restaurant was destroyed by Hurricane Katrina. The family business was closed until Dunbar had an idea. She called universities to ask if they needed help running their kitchens. Ratliff says they landed the law school contract a few weeks later.
Well, it looked like we would have been out of the restaurant business if Loyola wouldn't have opened up their doors to her so generously.
It was a deal specific to post-Katrina New Orleans, when creative partnerships were vital. Liz Williams directs the Southern Food and Beverage Museum. She says Katrina drove out many corporate food franchises.
In their place came up all those little mom-and-pop places that had been displaced. So now we have more restaurants that are owned locally than before Hurricane Katrina.
And Peggy Ratliff says local cooks are more appreciated, too.
Now people are more conscious of preserving the food culture here.
Dunbar's may be the only Creole restaurant on a college campus.
So she's doing fried chicken.
And the family members plan to keep the cafeteria contract, but they also want to serve their old neighborhood again. It's about a mile away, called Ferret. Peggy Ratliff doesn't know when that will happen.
Not clear yet. By being closed so long, you have to redo the whole building, the plumbing, the electric. Just don't have the funds.
There is a difference, she says, between finding stability and truly rebuilding. I'm Eve Tro for Marketplace.
And finally, you're walking past a street musician. The guy actually sounds pretty good, but you don't have any change to throw into his guitar case. Well, that's no longer an excuse. The British bank Barclays has tricked out the guitar of a London busker with what it calls contactless technology. So passersby need only wave a credit card over the guy's instrument to make a donation. If it takes hold, the catchphrase of this recession will be, "Brother, can you spare a swipe?" This is the Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.